Can you lift your hands to God? Just lift your hands to God. Lift your hands to God. God wants to speak to us this morning. Lift your hands to God. Shate lebo. Do you know the song? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Glory be to God. Give your neighbor a very big high five and you may be seated. A very big one. Make it loud. And you may be seated. Now, this morning I want to teach on something very powerful. It is not just a word, it's a prophetic word. Now, what I'm about to teach this morning is in preparation for the year 2026. And prophetically, I can tell you that 2025 seems to me prophetically like a transition year. And if you observe what is going on in the body of Christ, even in Nigeria, you can tell that there is somewhat of a passage of the fathers. And that's tells us something very profound as to what God is about to do. The Bible says it this way, that one generation shall command thy works unto another generation. And so you can see prophetically with the eyes of the Spirit that there is something God is doing. And so I know that 2026 is such a pivotal year. Now, please hear what I'm about to say to you. It's not just a pivotal year in the calendar year. It's such a pivotal year for your life. Please believe what I'm saying to you. There's such a conviction of the Spirit about the year 2026 and how critical and at the same time how detrimental that year can be if you don't equip yourself with certain spiritual truths as you journey into that new year. And that's why I believe that the theme of this conference is so prophetic. When I saw the theme, I said, this man is operating on another level. Thy kingdom come. Kai, thy kingdom come. The next year, 2026, seems to me like a Samuel and a David moment, where men and kings are being anointed at the back of the line so that the things that they would do in the front line will come to pass in their lifetime because they had the back of the line times. And it's not a year you want to joke with. Please believe what I'm saying to you. 2026 is not a year where you enter into that year casually. Please believe what I'm saying to you. It's such a year of the Spirit that you must equip yourself. That's why I said what your pastor just taught in a moment is so profound, because it's an equipping as to the things that you can take into the new year with you so that you can live far above the things that God has designed for you. The theme of this conference is Thy Kingdom Come. And the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, it gives us a very perfect analogy as to what entails in the kingdom. The Bible says it this way, that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. But look at what the Bible talks about, what the kingdom of God entails it in. It says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Then it says that's the kingdom of God right there. So if you are looking for the kingdom of God, then you are looking for three things in that kingdom. We're looking at righteousness, we're looking at peace, and we're looking at joy. This morning, I want to teach on something revolutionary for your next year. And please believe what I'm saying to you. If you listen to what I'm about to say to you, you know, Jesus said to the disciples, the words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, words are medium of impartation. And so what I'm about to say to you, if the word of the word comes into what I'm about to say to you, if you take it into the womb of your spirit into next year, believe what I'm saying to you, you would rise so high in such a way that you'll be shocked as to the potential you carried all along that you never knew you carried it. I want to teach on what I have titled, The Incapacitating Power of Fear. Fear. You see, several years ago, my biological mom died in a car accident. And when that event happened, this is so profound. I used to attend a school in Ilorin then. And after that event happened, I would enter into the bus going from Lagos to Ilorin. This is almost like a 5 to 6 hours journey. And from Lagos or Jota Car Park, I will be saying, I will be saying, in Jesus' name, 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 till I got to my school. I could not shut my eyes to sleep because of the fear of what happened previously. Please, you might think you know where I'm going to, but you don't. I'm going somewhere this morning. So I understand, because you see, the moment I said that, what many people think I'm talking about is just like when we're growing up, you know, Ojuju Calabar, I don't know if you do that yet, where you know, you are entering into a room and then somebody's like, they say, the person has fear. That's not what I'm talking about. Many of you have graduated that now. If somebody comes beside you, you just say, what's wrong with this one? So that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm not even literally talking about the fear of death or fear of traveling. That's not what I'm really talking about. I'm talking about the fear that holds people back from entering into what God has told them to do. Or entering into what God has planned for them to do. That fear. Fear, the word fear, F-E-A-R, is almost synonymous to say, forget everything and run. Forget everything and run. F-E-A-R. Or, listen to this, or face everything and rise. F-E-A-R. Face everything and rise. This morning, I came to embolden your spirit. I came to embolden your spirit to do the will of God. And not with small-mindedness, with largeness of spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying here this morning? With fullness of potential and fullness of capacity. Thank you, Jesus. I would like to start out by reading Genesis chapter 1. Let's start from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And one of the reasons why I always do this when I teach, I start from Genesis because Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 gives us a direct image as to the image of God from inception. In other words, this is exactly what's supposed to be before it was truncated by the devil. And so whenever we go to Genesis chapter 1, we can see the perfect image. And then Genesis chapter 1 also represents for us a similitude of what should be and what can be. In other words, when you read Genesis chapter 1 all the way down, that's where God created the heavens and the earth. That's when God made man and he blessed man, gave them be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. And the Bible says, ended there by saying that God rested, gives us a perfect image of what the earth exists for and what you and I represents. And so if you read Genesis chapter 1, it can tell us as to the suggestion or the mind of God, I'm putting it this way, or the intentions of God concerning the earth when he formed the earth. So the first thing we see in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Next verse, please. Verse 2. Then the Bible says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Look at what it says next. It says, and the Spirit of God was hovering around the face of the waters. Go to the next verse. Look at this. This is so profound. Verse 3, the Bible then says, then God said, Kabaya, let there be light. And there was light. Now watch this. You see, what you see, let me give you an analogy. If you are, of course, you live in Nigeria, and NEPA takes the light, and you have a one-year-old or a two-year-old child upstairs, and the two-year-old child is in our room or in his room, and NEPA takes the light. The moment NEPA takes the light, the child is wired to be afraid. The child will begin to fear. But you are downstairs. You are already accustomed to the fact that NEPA always takes light in Nigeria, even when they don't want to take it. So you are used to it. But the next thing you are going to say to the child is, wait for me, I'm coming. Is that not what you're going to say? By the time you get there, listen to this. Even if you don't have torch lights or you did not come with any light, the moment you show up there, the child is at peace. Even though there is no light there. So your presence brought stability for the child. In other words, your presence there was the light the child needed. Not necessarily light. Your presence was light. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And so therefore, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light in formation of the earth. In other words, God set forth light ahead against darkness so that by the time he creates us, we will not be thinking about darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying here? What that means, therefore, is that darkness represents fear. So when God said, let there be light, what God was saying is that you have absolutely no reason to fear anything because I cleared away fear. Then I set in motion light. So the first thing we see about the Godhead was to set a stage for you and I for existence. And the stage is set for existence for you and I was not a stage of darkness. It was a stage of light. Because by light, you can't stumble. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. The Bible says it this way, that in him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. Then it goes further to say, and this light shines in darkness, and it says darkness cannot comprehend it. So the first thing that we see was that God removed the covering cast of darkness so that we can live freely on the earth. That's why if you go to Genesis chapter 2, you would observe that Adam was naming the animals. Adam was naming lion, the lion you and I are afraid of today. Adam was naming chimpanzees, hippopotamus. There was absolutely no fear. And God saw everything that man named and God said it was good. So therefore, if there was no fear for the Garden of Eden to exist and continually exist, why has fear crept into our hearts? Because there's something fear does. It brings torment. Again, I'm not talking about this morning the fear of being afraid. Maybe something happens. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm going to get there in a moment. I came here this morning because the Lord showed me in a vision that there are people under the sound of my voice that carry something in their spiritual womb to do, but they are afraid to do it. They have absolutely no courage. That's what I'm going to be speaking about in the evening. No courage to do what God has called them to do. And 2026 is that year that you are going to have to live as though fear never exists. You are going to walk. Shekabayalaba. Look at what David said. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Look at what it says. He says, I fear no evil. Look at what it says next. It says, for God is with me. It says, I fear no evil. So, in Psalms 27, let's look at Psalms 27 verse 1. In Psalms 27, and verse 1, if you've read the Psalms, you will understand that the Psalms are very prophetic and poetic at the same time. And the Psalm speaks about the dealings of God with David. The Psalms are so prophetic and poetic at the same time because the Psalms also records for us David's prophetic journey on the earth. And by divine inspiration, David was able to bring together his personal experiences and then prophetically sing those Psalms, declare those Psalms, and we then by inspiration of the Spirit, can go back and read and observe what this Psalms means. And so in Psalms 27, David began to speak a very powerful psalm. And this psalm here was born out of his experience with Saul. You remember how Saul, David had killed 10,000 and Saul had killed 1,000. And David, Saul, was going to kill David. Now in Psalms 27 and verse 1, David began to say in the psalm that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Go to the next verse. Verse 2. Look at what it says next. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foe, they stumbled and feared. Next verse. Verse 3. We're going to stop here. It says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. My heart, what it's saying in essence, is that once the heart is corrupted, fear will come in. So once you can guard your heart, fear will not enter there. So he said that my heart shall not fear, even though all of this is happening to me. Now let's look at something. Look at this. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, can I have someone to please come? Okay, thank you. Please come. Look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. In other words, there are many things God can give, but fear is not part of what he gives. So if he says, God has not given us, in other words, if God was not the one that gave us fear, somebody gave us fear. Something gave us fear. Either someone or the devil or something gave us that fear. But as long as in the consequences of God, it's not God that gave us that fear. He says the only thing he has given to us is what? Power. Love. That love there speaks of his love. Then look at number three thing he says. He says a sound mind. He says once these three components work together, you will dispel fear. Once you can walk and understand power, understand the love of God, and understand having a sound mind, fear would not exist in your life. Now, please go over there. Just go over there. Watch this guy. Run quickly to me. Run. Now, you see, he can run to me. Why? Because he can see where he's going to. Shut your eyes. Shut your eyes. And run to me. Run, oh. Just run. Try. Run. You see what he's doing? He's wandering in life. Why? Because something has shut his eyes from seeing. Fear has stepped in. The reason why he cannot run the way he ran first is not because he doesn't know how to run. It's not because he doesn't know how to run. The reason why he cannot run is because fear of falling. Fear of failing. Oh, somebody took my money before, so therefore I will never invest again. You will remain poor. Fear. Oh, I did ministry one time, you know, and the person I married, because of something happened, then something happened to our ministry, then I will never do ministry again. Then you will never do it again, as you have said it, because of fear. Now, he can run before. This is the same person. Listen to this. This is the same person, Kabarakashtida. The same person that could run to me before is the very same person now that was wandering around, wasting time. Do you see how people waste time on the earth? So therefore, what we call delay is not the devil. Sometimes it's your fear. I came to tear up that fear in your spirit here. What you call delay is not the devil. It's the fear that the devil by himself or by yourself has put into your spirit. Listen, as a young boy, I couldn't travel 30 minutes. I traveled that road for almost 2 years. And all through my 2 years going through that route, I would never sleep for once. As though I'm the one driving the car. I'm not the one driving it. But the fear of what happened to my mom. Hey, I hope this thing will not happen again. Fear. Thank you. So you see, Once anyone is able to dispel fear, destroy fear, that's the day you start living. Think about this. Can you please paint a prophetic image for yourself? Men and women of God, paint a prophetic image for yourself. Think about this. Think about living a life where you were afraid of absolutely nothing. Just think about that. Can you conceive that? That God told you, buy me a property and just be singing songs for me in that property, and you are not afraid of doing it. You are not scared of doing it. That there is such a possibility like that, that you live the totality of your life on the earth without thinking about what if it doesn't work. Do you know how well you would have lived? Do you know how good you will live? Do you know how many fulfillment? Do you know how many things you are not fulfilled about because you are afraid of fear? You know, one day, a story, Death sent an email to a king. I said, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to come and kill 2,000 people in your city, in a city with 2,500 people. I'm going to come and kill 2,000 people in your city. 10 p.m. tomorrow. Now, 10 p.m. tomorrow came. The devil didn't show up there. But 2,000 people died. Then the king wrote to the devil and said, look what have you done. 2,000 people died. Why did you come? And the devil said, I didn't show up. Fear killed them, not me. I didn't show up there. Fear killed them. In other words, before any foul spirit enters into any door, it is fear they will send. Fear will precede any foul spirit. Fear. That's why the Bible says it this way, who through all their lifetime have been subjected to the fear of death. The fear of death there doesn't necessarily mean you die physically. You see, if you start a business and you are scared that this business will not work, you are already experiencing death. So the fear of death is called incapacitation. When you are incapacitated, you are experiencing death. So fear of death there is not only when you die physically. The Bible says one of the reasons why Jesus came is to remove that fear of death. Look at what the four lepers says. The four lepers said it this way, why sit we here until we die? If we go there, we die. If we stay here, we die. It's only one die. Let's go and die the die there. You must have such mentality of the spirit that you see, we only die once. Are you getting what I'm saying here? When the Bible says that the righteous is as bold as a lion, and the Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, righteousness there is not only speaking about what God, Jesus did for us on the cross. Listen, there are two sides of a new creation. There is the lion and the lamb. Believe what I'm saying to you. The lion is that one that when it comes to time for me to roar, I can roar because of what is on my inside. But you see, don't touch me. I can look like a lamp, but if you touch the lamp on me, the lion in me will come out. Many Christians are lamps. No lion side of them. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, see, I send you out as wolves. I send you out, pardon me, as sheep. Amongst who? Wolves. But look at what he says. This is the strategy. Be as wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. In other words, if you go there as a sheep, they will kill you. But you must have two things. The wisdom of a serpent and what? The gentleness of a dove. When you marry the two together, you will destroy that wolf. The serpent is not scared of the wolf. No. In our generation, how will we do ministry? Man of God, we were together. We sat together at that PFM at 40. They were taking an announcement and the Lord told me to kneel down. I went on my knees during the announcement. I don't know if you saw me. I went on my knees at one point. And the Lord told me, look up. And the Lord said, do you see how the fathers did ministry? He said, go and do it like that. What was that? They didn't fear. Look, they had no fear for anything. Absolutely no fear. How will somebody carry his family and his friend and go into the bush and say, God told me to come and be living there, when there was absolutely no civilization there? They had to go outside the city to get water. And they lived like that. Listen, when we talk about Hebrews chapter 11, when the Bible talks about the patriarch of faith, and we talk about even the concept of faith, many believers think that faith only exists to mean collecting something from God and materialism. No, sir. That's not the totality of faith. But look at what the Bible says concerning faith in Hebrews chapter 11 about the patriarch of faith. It says, time will not permit me to talk about Gideon, to talk about Jabez. Look at that. To talk about Samson, who conquered territory. It says they were not afraid of death. They lived like men that came from another realm. My God. They lived as though there was nothing to fear. It's when you get to 80, you realize that you were scared of something that you have defeated. And by that time, it's already too late to live the fullness of your life. The Bible says it's good for a young man to bear the burden in the days of his youth. It's now time. Hey, look at what the Bible says. It says the earnest expectation of creation waited eagerly for the manifestation of the sons of God. Can I tell you something? The manifestation of the sons of God comes with contention. Man of God, you know, there was a time they were telling us that the wealth transfer is coming. The wealth transfer, oh, everybody prepare, the wealth transfer. You think the evil people want to drop the wealth?
They will not want to drop the wealth.
People just say, it's coming. I received the wealth transfer. Woo, it's coming. They are doing nothing. No evil person comes and drop money to you. No, sir. It takes contention. The Bible says this way concerning God. It says, how terrible are thy works, O God. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies subdue themselves under thy feet. So even God rules by power.
Yes.
If God rules by power, you have to rule by power.
Yes,
this continuous fear of not doing the will of God because of what people will say. And many people live in regrets, and excuses are the building blocks of regrets. Many people live in regrets. Excuses are the building blocks of regrets. The more excuses you give, the more building you are building. The name of that building is titled regret. And when you build such a building, you will live inside of it. Lift your two hands and say, I fear no evil. You have to make it louder. Say, I fear absolutely nothing. The Bible says it this way in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. The Bible says that fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Look at what it says. It says, fear not, I am with you. There is a courage you must have as a new creation believer. That you see, if a righteous man falls down seven times will he rise again. Even if I fall, oh, by my God, I would walk through this fire, but it will not burn me. You know, that there's a mentality of that. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 56 and verse 11, the Bible says, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. I will not be afraid. Look, you see the difference between David and the other Israelites that were going to face Goliath was that they had the same covenant. They had the same covenant. David had a covenant with God. They were uncircumcised. The Philistines were uncircumcised. They had the same covenant. But everybody was waiting. Even though they had the covenant that they could fight Goliath, but there was only one missing link as to who we fight Goliath. That we have a covenant doesn't mean you walk in it. Okay. That you have a covenant can only mean you have the badge of it. But who will be king is determined by who we fight Goliath. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Who will take the throne? Can I tell you something? If Eliab was the one who went to fight Goliath, can I tell you what people will be saying? They will say, Eliab fought 10,000, killed 10,000. Saul killed what? 1,000. David will now try to prove himself that he is the one anointed. But Eliab would have taken his place. Because Eliab fought and rescued the nation when nobody could rescue the nation. So at that moment, it was a context of who can fight Goliath. And that context there, is only a context of faith, not fear. Look at a young boy who think, Shila Mayakaba, man of God, look at this. Please, I want you to pay attention to this. Do you know that the day David went to fight Goliath, he did not know that he was going to go and fight Goliath. He was only taking food for his brothers, unprepared. You see, sometimes you over-prepare, and that's the reason why you never enter into God's plans for your life. I'm preparing. Can I tell you the circle of life? It is preparation and manifestation at the same time. Preparation, it's a circle of life. It's a circle of life. Nobody told him that day he was going to fight Goliath. But guess what? He went with a sling and with a stone. In other words, he meant, Kamaya, that when he was going, he always had in his hands, that sling in his hands, that the day might come, and any time I come, I need to be battle ready. He did not go back home to go and get the sling. He did not go back home. Are you getting what I'm saying? We could find stone everywhere, but that's not the time to go and borrow sling. If it were some of us, we're not prepared. We will say, okay, I can fight this Goliath, but let me quickly go home and go and get sling that we're going to use to fight Goliath. Time has gone. He was ready to fight. It meant that he was carrying that thing everywhere, battle ready. And by the time he got there, all he needed to do was to pick stones that is readily available. Took the stones, fought Goliath. Because he had no fear. It meant that he was not afraid to die. How many things will we do if we were not afraid? And how many things are we not doing because we are afraid? How many things? How many things are you still praying about that the only answer is to have faith, not fear? Can I tell you something? If you fast and pray from today to tomorrow, God would have answered the prayer. But if you don't have the faith to step into what God has told you to do, you will still not have the answer to your prayer. What brings your answer is not tears. What brings your answer is faith. And faith right there is boldness and audacity to do what God has asked you to do. Glory be to God. Is somebody hear what I'm saying this morning? Let me show you very quickly. In the Bible, three types of fear. We see three types of fear. Number one is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord here speaks of two parts. Number one is the fear of the Lord, which is revering God, esteeming his supremacy and his power. That's the fear of the Lord, revering God, esteeming his supremacy and power. That's why when, you know, somebody tells you, you know, like if you're a pastor, you know what I'm saying here. You call the person and say, are you coming to church today? He says, I'm coming. Where are you now? He says, I'm on my way. Where exactly? I'm almost in church. Okay, you will see me now. 2 minutes, pastor. You will see me now. Okay, I'm almost there now. I'm there now. Then, after service, you didn't see the person. Ah, but you say you are there. You say, pastor, I could not come today. Why couldn't you come today? Pastor, I slept off. You say, you don't fear God. That there speaks of revering God. So there's such a thing about the fear of the Lord. Now, the second part of fear of God is also the fear of his wrath. The fear of his justice system on the earth. So there's the fear of God. This is what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11 verse 2 and 3. The Bible speaks about the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It's one of the seven spirits of God. The fear of the Lord. It speaks of the spirit of humility. The spirit to revere God. Now, the second fear that we'll see in the Bible is the fear of evil. Look at what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15. And the release of those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All their lifetime subject to bondage. So, the Bible is saying here that fear is the reason why many people are in bondage. Fear. By the fear of death, all their lifetime were subject to bondage. All their lifetime. So it is possible that in the total existence of a man, you can be living in bondage even though you are walking around. Even though you have a career. Even though you have a job. But you are living in bondage because you are afraid of something. Are you hear what I'm saying here? There are many people who are living in perpetual bondage because they are afraid of something. Fear. The Bible says all their lifetime. It can take you 80 years to live on the earth, 100 years to live on the earth, but you realize that you only live 2 years free of fear. The remaining 87 years out of 90 years on earth, you lived in bondage because you were afraid to do what God has told you to do. The Bible says it this way, that by faith, we quench every fiery dart of the enemy. By faith. We quench every fiery dart. And I have a very powerful definition of faith. My definition of faith is, it means to be spiritually assertive on any revealed truth found in the scriptures. To be spiritually assertive on any revealed truth found in the scriptures. To be spiritually assertive. Man of God, sir, please let me use you, sir. Please sit down. Please sit down. Man of God, please come, sir. Can I get a mic for this man of God? To be spiritually assertive. Thank you. Don't stand up. Tell this man to stand up.
Stand up.
No, I said don't stand up. You are not spiritually assertive. Don't stand up. Tell him to stand up.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Use stronger voice.
Pastor Joshua, stand up.
Try it louder.
Stand up.
Use all your passion.
Stand up.
Say it very loud.
Stand up.
Did he answer him? He is spiritually assertive on what he knows he needs to be seated on. Nothing is moving him, no matter what this person is saying. If he says from today to tomorrow, he doesn't change his position. He's seated in Christ Jesus. Far above every spiritual and powers. He's seated. Nothing will stand him up. Nothing whatsoever can stand him up. It means he is spiritually assertive on every revealed truth. If he says you are the head and not the tail, that's a spiritual assertion. If he says the righteous might fall, if he says that 1,000 might fall by your side, 10,000 by your right side, but it will not come near you, that's a revealed truth. Is it so? Then you are being spiritually assertive on anything that is revealed to you. If the word of God says you are the light of the world, a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, that's a revealed truth. Is it not?
Yes, sir.
Is it a revealed truth?
Yes, sir.
So you be assertive on that revealed truth. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above all that you can even ask or think, according to the power that is at work within you. In other words, God can do exceedingly and above in your life. Is that a revealed truth?
Yes,
is it a revealed truth?
Yes,
then be spiritually assertive on it. It means that even when they say that you are going down, the sickness is going to take you down, you are being spiritually assertive. That because the Lord told me, my very God told me, that by my God I leap over walls. In other words, no matter what is going on, I will not come down.
Yes,
being spiritually assertive. Then the Bible is saying, by the definition of that faith, which means you are spiritually assertive, you then quench every fiery dart. So what quenches the fiery dart is you being spiritually assertive on any revealed truth that God has told you. I'm the head and not the tail. See, if I attempt it and it doesn't work, I will learn how not to do it next time. I will do it again. Thank you, sir. Is somebody hear what I'm saying here?
Yes,
sir. So number two is the fear of evil. The fear of evil. People are afraid of evil. But the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. That love there is God. This is what David says. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Can I tell you the number three? Number three is the fear of men. This is the one I want to anchor on the most. Are you aware that many of us don't fear God? We don't fear evil, but we fear men. Can I talk to you this morning? The God that can make you disappear, you don't fear that one. But the God that created the men, you fear that one. Can I tell you something? Man of God, you said something profound when you were teaching. Very powerful statement. If you trace one of the reasons why everybody that we know in scriptures went backward, they were doing well before, then it began to decline. Everything like that is traceable to one thing, disobedience. God told Saul, you have to perform the spiritual rite only as a king. You cannot touch sacrifice because you are not a priest. But what did Saul say? He said, the people are coming, the fear of men. What will people say is the reason why he went to sacrifice in disobedience to what God told him to do. So people would rather obey men than obey God. It's like the old prophet and the young prophet. People would rather obey God, men than obey God. What is God saying to you to do? Look at what Jesus told the disciples. Whatsoever, Mary told Jesus' disciples, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. The disciples said this, very profound. They said, we have a choice here. Rather to obey men or to obey God. But we've chosen our choice. We're going to obey God. When you can destroy the fear of men, you start living. The day you destroy the fear of men, and can I tell you something? Men are the smallest in the variables of life. Because you see, a man's opinion is not forever. Let me say it again. A man's opinion is not forever. The same person that is angry with you today doing what God told you to do can be the same person tomorrow that will tell you that I'm very proud of what you have done. Yes, sir. A man's opinion. As long as you are in the border side of the word of God and the will of God, do whatever God tells you to do. Ah, shilabayagaba sakaba. Oh, shikatoboya. Somebody say, I hear twice. The fear of men. Look at what David says. Look at what the Bible says here. David speaking in this place. David says in Psalms 118 and verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Many times it's the equation of men. What would they say? What would people say? Are you aware that some of our fathers in the faith, if they thought about what people would say, we would not have the gospel in Nigeria today? If it's about what people say. Now we can even talk about prosperity. There were people who started talking about prosperity. The church themselves stoned them when they were talking about it. But now everybody can talk about prosperity. Fear. Fear. Fear would cause you to move slower than how you ought to move in life. It will cause you to move backwards. Fear. Fear. Number four, fear, which is where I'm hanging on today, fear of the unknown. Fear of stepping out into the unknown. You know, there's one old song that says, ill song. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without waters. Let me walk upon waters. Wherever you call me, take me deep where my feet can land. And my faith. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. Lift your two hands, everyone. Lift your hands. Please. Let me walk. Take me deeper. You have to carry this song into 2026. You have to carry it with the spirit of faith and boldness. Spirit lead me.
Spirit lead me.
Without borders, let me walk.
Take me deeper.
Look at me, everyone, please. You have to erase from your vocabulary this year, not next year. What if it doesn't work? That statement must never come out of your mouth again. What if it doesn't work? What if it works? And yes, what if it doesn't really work? But do you have the courage? Do you have the boldness? Look at me, Sanma. I have noticed everybody God used in the Bible, they had courage to do what God told them to do. Abraham, leave thy father and thy kindred to a place that I will show you. Somebody that I've not seen before. My father that sent me to school. My father that knows me. You now tell me to leave my father and my kindred to a place. Then you now go and meet Abraham. They say, where are you going to? You say, I'm looking for a foundation whose builder and city is the Lord. If I'm Abraham's pastor, I will tell him not to do it. If I'm Abraham's pastor, I will tell Abraham, you don't know what you're saying. Don't do it. But Abraham heard the voice of God. He says, I will make you great. I will make you a strong nation. And Abraham left. One of the things you must understand about the man Abraham is not the beauty alone that is the father of the faith, is his promptness in obeying God. When God told him to go and sacrifice his son, the Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning to sacrifice his only son. Wow. Courage. That's one of the things God does. When he calls you, the first thing he does with you is to embolden you. That's why when he called Moses, he said, what do you have in your hands? He said, I have a rod. He says, drop it. You know why he told him to drop it? Because that's exactly the only language they understand in the house of Pharaoh. They understand the rods and the serpent. They wanted to know, because God knows that if you go to the house of Pharaoh and you only talk, Pharaoh will send you out. You have to throw the rod of power. That serpent there represents power. That's why when Moses dropped the rod, Pharaoh laughed. Called his own astrologers and his magician. They dropped the same thing, but they saw something they've never seen before. They saw how Moses' rod swallowed their own rod. Why? Because God emboldened him with two powerful things before he sent him. Number one, drop the rod. Number two, put your hands in the bosom and your hand will turn into a leprosy. Put it right back again and then it will turn clean. God gave him two powerful things. Then God says, I am that I am. Go. And with audacity of faith and boldness. It's like you going to meet Adolf Hitler. A man who has killed people. A man who subdued a whole nation. The whole of Israel. And made them, you know, put tax masters under them. Caused them to suffer. Gave them garlic and gave them bread, meat to eat. For years. Then you go and meet that kind of a person. And you come and meet the person and say, let my people go. Who gave it you infantry? This is with stamina. What boldness. Jesus came and said, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It is written concerning me to do thy will, O God. Now, Jesus says that, see, you can put this man and destroy this temple and in 3 days he will rise again. Can I tell you why they were fighting Jesus? It was not only because his theology was different. It was the audacity and the boldness to which he was saying the things he was convinced about. In other words, boldness can only be seen by conviction. So stop reading the Bible without conviction. All these years you have been a Christian. You have prayed in the spirit. You have prayed in tongues. Yet no conviction. You have fasted. Yet no conviction. Brother, I like what you said. That people could pray. Blah, 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 and yet nothing is changing inside them. There's a song that says, is the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God. He's the Holy Ghost, the scepter of the King of Kings. He's the Holy Ghost, the seal of the age to come. It's changing everything, my life. Look at me, everybody. That changing everything in obedience to God is that that fear must now obey God. It's giving your name above every other name. That at the mention of name of Jesus, every fear is part of a name. It is named. So fear needs to bow, my goodness, God. How will you live 2026 without fear? What are the things God is asking you to do? It's changing everything. It's changing everything in my life. So everything needs to obey God in your life this coming year. Everything. 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 Not something, Sanma. Not few things, Sanma. Everything. You are going to start that business with boldness. You are going to start that ministry with boldness. You are going to live fearless. You are Rashatabaya Kabaratalabaya. Have you ever seen a man that is armed in his right senses? Truly in his right senses, that is afraid. A man that is armed. Now the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. You don't know how armed you are. Jesus told the disciples, they said, the disciples told Jesus, let us call legions of angels. He says, no, don't you know spirits you are made of? But he wasn't denying that he could call the legions of angels. Elisha said to them, open the eyes that he may see the them that are with us are more than the them that are coming. If you truly can see the angelic beings that are with you, the Bible says that we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Innumerable companies of angels. Do you know the people that are with you and you are afraid? A child of God that is afraid. A child of God that is scared. A child of God that is afraid to do the will of God because of men. A child of God that is afraid to stand for his generation and stand for truth. You are afraid. Do you know what fear means? In Genesis chapter 1, God dispelled fear already by saying, let there be light. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And you are in that light. Then Jesus went further to say, you are the light of the world. Now light is afraid of darkness. When the light start being scared of darkness, you are going to turn into somebody else next year. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Let me begin to wrap up now. Tonight I'm going to teach on courage. I'm going to teach on courage. There is a spirit that can rest upon a person. Ezekiel 2:2 says it this way. It says, the spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me and he stood me up upon my feet. There's a spirit that can enter into you. You no longer look at anybody's face. You just do the will of God. Sir and Ma, can I tell you something? In our generation, the word of the spirit for our generation is like the Joshua generation. We must contend for space. Yes,
we must contend for space.
We can't be doing things casually. You've all your life small things, playing safe. Then when you are now 80, that's when you want to start doing it big. It's already too late. You don't understand the God that you serve is the God of generations. Once it's done with a generation, it moves to another generation. Now it's done with a particular generation, that's the time you want to now enter into the next generation. That's why you see some people at a particular age, they are trying to do what young people are doing, then they look funny. You know why? Because they skipped their own time when the opening happened for them. If you are called to ministry, please hear what I'm saying to you. Ministry is season and time. People say, I'll go and do some things first, then I'll come back into it. No, sir. You must understand the cycles of life. This is what the Bible says. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. If you have nothing to fear, what will you do today? Can I announce something to you? Truly, there is really nothing to fear. Can I tell you something? At the end of the day, it might take 5 years or 10 years, but if you truly have heard God, God will justify that you heard him. And the same people that said, what are you doing? Are the same people that will come back to tell you, you have done well. Please, don't base your life on men. They are very fickle. Please, don't base your life on men. One day that I said to myself, my biological father, told me something to do. Then I did otherwise, because God told me to do that. Then when I did it, my father looked at me because what I did worked. And I said that, when me, I told you as human being to do something, if you have done it, you would have found out that human being will remove their hands when it doesn't work. Thank God you obeyed God. Wake up. Don't do the will of God at your own expense. You have nobody to blame. You have absolutely no human being to blame but yourself. Courage of the spirit as we go into the new year. So, 2026 is the year of expansion. You see, you are going to gather spoil. You are going to, you know, you're going to cover grounds by the spirit so much, but you're going to have to draw your sword. Like Nehemiah, one hand to build and one hand to sword. That's how it's going to work. Let me close with this. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read from verse 22. The Bible says, immediately Jesus made his disciples come get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain to pray for himself. Now when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Look at that. They cried out for fear. Look at this. They cried out of fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Look at what it says next. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, I love Peter. He says, Lord, if you are walking on top of fear, that's what Jesus was doing. As he was walking on water, he was walking on top of fear. So Peter said, I want to taste what it feels like to walk on top of fear. He says, if it's you, command me to come on the water. And he says, come. You see, that word come is enough. That word come. He says, come. And when Peter had come down on the water, look at what the Bible says. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. In other words, what you see is the reason why you are scared. You have seen too much failure, so you are scared of failure. You have heard too much stories of those that failed, so you are scared of those that failed. You are now scared of failing. What he saw was the reason why he started to fall. But think about this. If he only saw Jesus that told him to come, he would have walked on that water. But the moment he started looking at other things, he started to sink. Can I tell you something? You see, the boat is constant. It is what is coming out of the boat that can make the boat sink. If the wind enters into the boat, the boat can capsize. But you see, as long as the wind will not enter, that boat will not capsize. As long as you will not allow the wind of life enter into your heart, your boat will not capsize. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. Let's close with that. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 32. Give it to me in the TPT version. Thank you. We're going to read this together. Hebrews chapter 11, 32. Can you please give it to me in the Passion Translation if you have it? The TPT version. But if not, let's just read it here. All right, let's read this. Let's read it with the King NKJV. I want us to read it together, everybody. And I want you to read it from your spirit with convictions from this place. And we're just going to pray 1 minute in tongues. Can we read it together, everybody? Can we read it together? Please, I like us to thunder it. Not just read it. I like us to thunder it. These were the people that the Bible calls patriarchs of faith. But look at what they did. Can we read it together? 1, 2, ready, go. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Next verse. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. My goodness. Next verse. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned. Next verse. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting delivery. In other words, let me tell you something. Devil, if you want to kill me, we kill ourselves here today. Not accepting deliverance. You know, have you ever fought with somebody that says, we die here? They are the very wrongest people to fight. You beat me, you keep beating me. You see, at the end of the day, those kind of people, you beg them. You say, please, I don't want to fight again. You say, now you go tire. Me, I no go tire. Now you go tire. That is the posture a believer must have. We fall, but we go again. Now devil go tire. We fall, but we go again. Now devil go tire. We fall, but we go again. Now devil go tire. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Let's close that scripture up quickly. It says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Go to the next verse, last one. Still others had trials of mockings. Yes, of the chains. And look at this. People laughed at them. You don't want people to laugh at you. You are too scared of people's thinking, people's thoughts towards you. A man's thoughts can change. Please remember this statement. A man's thought can change. It says, and of chain and imprisonment. In other words, you are imprisoned because of what man can say. Go to the next verse. 1, 2, ready, go. They were stoned. They were sawn into two and were tempted. Were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Next verse. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Next verse, verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. So what God calls faith is spiritual ruggedness. Stay in power without fear. Lift your two hands. I wanted to pray this prayer. From today, as I enter into the new year, I destroy the power and the speed of fear. Begin to pray in the spirit.